and just welcome you from the good lunch. I hope now we are going to have got necessary energy. And the department, I feel pity for the department. Yeah. Oh, they mustn't worry. No. Yeah, because they are a family, at least. They are the members of the family. on a serious note, we welcome the department this afternoon and would like to get a presentation on their specific performance plans, targets, key indicators, because if I can remember when we met in our last meeting, there were issues that were not clarified. Even the matter on the this sanitation, the new transfer function on sanitation, and the second point, the performance plans were not. The key areas, performance key areas, were not clarified properly, and that would cause a problem for the members to play their oversight function. Because when we oversee a department, we need to know what exactly are we going to monitor. Are there any mechanisms that are in place that are going to assist the portfolio committee in performing its obligations? So I hope that today the department is coming up with an improved document. I'm going to hand over to the department, but another thing we would request from the department: for the past 2 days, we have been engaged with the department, provincial department, and the department was also here on an observer status. We would appreciate, as the portfolio committee, to receive the observations that have been made by the department through those presentations that we received for the past 2 days. So with those few words, I wish to welcome the department. Over to you, Mr. Officer.
Thank you very much. First, I would like to apologize formally on behalf of Mr. Zabantu. He's attending an important forum. Well, attending a... World Urban Forum meeting in Brazil, which is a UN United Nations forum, and he's together with the deputy minister. And they are representing us, the country. So I'll be standing in for Mr. Zabantu. I've been appointed provisionally to act as a DG on his behalf. And the team here needs no introduction, but I need just to emphasize that the presentation will be led by Mrs. Judy Bayat, who will do the first part in terms of our prepared presentation. And then immediately thereafter, I will ask Mr. Anton Arense to make certain follow-ups with regard to observations that were observations by the department on what was happening. I only arrived this morning, so I do not have benefit of I didn't have the benefit of participating in those meetings, but I think Mr. Arense was here. He'll be able to assist us with that gap. And then we will then take the questions in a normal way. Mrs. Bayat, Sir Julie.
Thank you, thank you, Honourable Chair and Mr. Mapisa, Honourable Members, good afternoon. And I want to apologise for not being here earlier, or else everyone would have been able to get away a little earlier. But Chairperson, thank you very much for having us at this time. Chair, I just want to indicate to you that what we have today is a presentation for you on largely the business plan for for the department. What we will do is we want to indicate to you what the we will report to you on what will happen in terms of the financial year of 2010-2011 in terms of what the human settlements programs per province will be. We will provide you with information on the province's focus areas in terms of their grant, a synopsis of the provincial priorities, an assessment of the province's capability to attain these targets for the informal settlement upgrading and rental accommodation, and the department's focus areas and the national priorities, and an overview of the risks and assumptions. Chair, arising out of this, we will be able to, arising out of this, and specifically in terms of outcomes 8, we will start to be able to indicate certain key performance areas that we as a department will have to be able to achieve. I must indicate to you, Chair, that at this point in time, we have not got an approved number of KPAs. And I want to ask your indulgence if we may come back to you with the approved key performance areas, because we do need to, as a department, really be able to sit with the outcome 8, work out the KPAs, and be able to present that as an approved position to you. And we don't have that at this stage, Chair, if you don't mind. With your permission, then, if I may then proceed on the basis of the presentation. Thank you. Chair, in terms of the background, if we can just start off, and we need to start off and indicate where we have the mandate from. And first of all, the preparation of the business plans is actually linked to the conditional grant, and there is a requirement for provinces to report on every single one of their projects in terms of business plans. And all this arises from certain pieces of legislation that we have to adhere to. And in terms of DORA, Chair, we have DORA, which actually sets out that there needs to be a compilation of business plans that is linked to the conditional grant. And the department has to comply with the National Treasury's regulations in terms of prescripts as contained in DORA and the conditional grant framework for the current financial year. And in doing this, the department has to put together a national business plan that is supported by 9 provincial business plans that have been approved, and this is submitted to the DG for approval and signature, whereafter this then goes to National Treasury. As far as the grant framework is concerned, Chair, there are certain conditions that are set out in the grant framework, and as part of one of the requirements is that there must be a business plan that is submitted which consists of a number of projects, of the list of projects that need to be taken care of during the year. So, Chair, arising out of that, that will also, you can ascertain, that will essentially come as one of the KPAs, where the provinces have actually done that or have they not done that. So we will start to pull out our KPAs arising out of issues that are coming through. In terms of PFMA, provinces are expected to report quarterly, Chair, for every single project in terms of their business plans. Chair, the next slide starts to talk to you about the grant allocations that have been allocated to the provinces and the actual and the amount that the provinces are actually starting to project in terms of their own projections, in terms of their allocations. You will notice, Chair, from the presentation and from the table, there are only 5 provinces that have actually submitted their business plans as at the 9th of February. The difficulty is, and as at that date. So what is going to be presented today will be up until the 9th of February, Chair. As you can see, the Eastern Cape has over-projected by 5, they've over-projected. The Gauteng is spot on. The Northern Cape has also over-projected, and the Western Cape has under-projected. The Northwest has actually come spot on as well, Chair. In terms of the actual provinces who have presented their business plans, you will notice, Chair, that the Eastern Cape has complied in all respects. They've supplied the business plan. There is a compliance certificate that's received. The project list has also been attached. Gauteng has also complied all round. Northern Cape has complied all round. The Northwest has, we have received a business plan and a project list. The compliance certificate is outstanding. As far as the Western Cape is concerned, there is a received business plan and the project list is outstanding.
Excuse me. Don't you have to
present it? Appears to have the full presentation.
Chair, please apologize. I have added a few slides into there, but these are in the document. It's in the document. It's all in there. It's nothing different. And I must just draw your attention to the fact that it is in the document. Chair. I just enhanced the document a little bit after it was submitted. So it's there, and it's in here, so there's nothing. I brought the presentation and the document together, so it becomes more easy to follow, and I must apologize, Chair. All right, thank you. Chair, if we look at Table 3 in this document, Table 3 in the actual document, and that is what this slide starts talking to. And the reason why I've done it this way, Chair, is just that we actually get a far better feel with a more complete document. It starts to talk to all the detail that we are unable to put on a slide presentation. Essentially, what Table 3 starts to talk about is the allocation per housing program per province. And what provinces do is that they allocate funds per housing program, which is like on their financial interventions and incremental housing, social and rental and rural. So the way we will actually then ascertain indicators as to whether they're performing or not will be on the basis of each one of these housing programs and the interventions. So we actually start to pull out indicators based on these. And the Table 3 starts to look at each one of the interventions, the amount of funding that has been allocated, and so each one of the provinces are able to indicate to us exactly what gets allocated for per housing program per province. Chair. The next slide starts to set out exactly what the delivery priorities for the department and what it is that actually underpins the way in which housing delivery happens for us as a department, and it will be the basis on which we expect delivery to happen as far as the provincial delivery is concerned. Our priorities are dependent on what comes out of Cabinet and Khosa, the ruling parties and just the issues arising out of Lekgotla, whether it's Cabinet Lekgotla, also about the State of the Nation Address, the MTSF, and Outcome 8, which starts to set out precisely what we're supposed to achieve. And based on what we're supposed to achieve is what we will start to pull out our indicators from. So Outcome 8 sets out that we must accelerate up grading of informal settlements to at least to about 500,000 households by 2014. We need to upscale the development of affordable rental housing stock. It has to be, there's an urban focus here, and in terms of that, we're saying there should be at least 30,000 units that we are looking at. Land assembly for human settlements is something that we need to do, whether we're achieving that. The national settlement infrastructure development, are we being able to achieve that in terms of having sanitation coming to the department? Are we starting to meet those targets? And
we will need to pull that the indicator off that one. We will also need to start to facilitate an increased supply of affordable housing finance. There's a very structured program that we're starting to put together in terms of the State of the Nation address, where the state president actually indicated that there was going to be a certain amount of funding that will be set aside for housing, for affordable housing. So coming out of this outcome chair, the actual indicator will come out of that particular aspect. Chair, this slide starts to talk to the national priority programs. As you can notice, as you will see, what we start to see, and it's in the slides. I hope you can see it on the screen. Each one of the provinces, we actually look at informal settlement upgrading. That's the top line. We look at what the provinces have allocated. Each one of the provinces who have actually provided us with their plans, the percentage of the allocation per province. The same with rental, people's housing process, credit-linked rectification of stock. It starts to tell you, Chair, in terms of what the outcome 8 is about and what the national priorities are, and you start to see the differences of what it is that, for example, the Eastern Cape is allocating 5.8% on informal settlement upgrade, whereas our national priority in terms of what we're supposed to achieve should actually be much higher than that. The same with Gauteng, it's only 9.24%. The Northern Cape is allocating 25.89%. The Northern Cape, Northwest rather, 10.54%. The Western Cape, 14.9%. So we're actually, it is a worrying factor, Chair, because in the provincial, the way in which the provinces start to plan, there's a discrepancy between what our national priorities are and what it is that the provinces are starting to put on their plans. The same with, and if you go all along the way with social rental, the people's housing process, the credit link, wealth rectification, you'll find that there is a big discrepancy in the way in which, as regards our priorities, what it is that the provinces are starting to do. Chair, that is against Table 4 in the document, so it's set out in the document as Table 4, and I've cross-referenced it on the presentation. Thanks, Anton. If we look at informal settlement upgrading table, it's against your table 5 in the document. You will start to see per province what it is that the provinces have started to set out. They, for example, Eastern Cape has allocated in 2010-2011 4,294 sites. That's what they're planning. They're planning 3,954 units in terms of the allocation of the funds. But, Chair, if you start to add it up and we look at the number of sites planned during, it starts to look, oh, we're only going to see 56,000 sites and 35,000 units. But this is on simply the 5 provinces that have actually submitted plans. In terms, without sounding too pessimistic, Chair, the experience of the department has been that it's certainly not going to come anywhere near what the national what the target is for the department, and that is a concern for us. So we're saying that although the figures here are reflected only on 5 provinces, the numbers that will come in terms of the other provinces, it's hardly likely that we are going to meet the target as set out in terms of the State of the Nation address, or even in terms of our company. So we do have a problem, Chair, in starting to bring these numbers together. So that was informal settlement upgrading. In terms of the rental, as you can see, the numbers are even lower, and I'm going to look at the figure which says total, because each one of the provinces are along the way, but at the bottom, the total is 18,051, which is also very low. Whether we're going to be able to get to 30,000 units is really difficult for us to say at this stage, and that for us is a big worry, Chair. In terms of the national priority programs, let us just look as far as the different priorities are concerned. This starts to set out all the different priorities in terms of into the MTEF. We're actually starting to see what our totals are, so it starts to bring all the numbers together, the sites planned, the units planned, and the funds allocated, and just to give us a greater sense of where is it that we're starting to see. And we certainly are not going to see the figures that we're anticipating here or what the national department's priorities are. So this also starts to send worrying. It does worry us that this is what we're getting at from the provinces. Chair, what this slide simply puts to you exactly what the provincial priorities are. We have, in terms of the Integrated Residential Development Program, the Northern Cape is putting have put theirs at 60%, 61%, the Eastern Cape at 10.5%, Gauteng only at 4%. As far as project link subsidies, the Western Cape is growing at 34%, Northwest 30.5%, Gauteng 19.5%. Informal settlement upgrading, as far as their priorities go and the funds that they're allocating to informal settlement upgrading, is Northern Cape is 40% and Western Cape is 14.9%. So if we just take only the informal settlement upgrading check, if the Western Cape is allocating 14.9%, it's really a very, very low percentage if we are going to get to, if it's going to contribute towards the 500,000 the upgrading of 500,000 households. It's really a small figure. The Northern Cape, they're allocating 40.5%, which, but their numbers are much smaller. They're a very big province, but their numbers are smaller. So the idea is just to show you that even at that level, the priorities at provincial level are far, there's a huge discrepancy into where, what our achievements are and what we need to get to. Thanks, Atta. Chair, this starts to Just to bring it together, this is also in your document, and it's a little better, it's a little bigger in the document rather than in the presentation. We actually start to look at what the national priorities are in terms of informal settlement upgrading as against the provincial priorities. Here we start to see the discrepancies again, Chair, and this starts to come out on each and every one of the provinces. Where we see our national priorities, which, for example, as far as the top five programs are concerned, informal settlement upgrading, the grant allocation is only 5.8% in terms of what our national priorities are. But the incremental housing, for example, the provincial priority is 64.5%. So that's what this is starting to show you. Social and rental for us is rental housing, or the allocation of rental housing is a hugely important element. It came out in SONA, it's coming out in Outcome 8, but Eastern Cape is allocating 5.1%. But as far as integrated residential programs, they're allocating 10.5%, for example. But if we look at PHP also, each one of these come out, they only allocated 14.5%. Savings link, there's nothing. Rectification is 11.6. But we look at the other aspects, the provincial priorities, the highest number or the highest quantum of the allocation is in terms of incremental housing intervention, which is at 64.5%. Thanks, Sancho. Very similarly, Chair, if you look at what Gauteng is doing, informal settlements, they're only growing 9.2%. Social and rental, also 9.2%. PHP, really nothing's been allocated to PHP, nothing to credit link, and as far as rectification, it's only 0.1%. Whereas in terms of their own priorities, they are going for incremental housing, that's 37%, almost 38%. Project link, they're going for 19.5%. Their operational capital budget is 12.4%. Informal settlement upgrading, they've only got 9.24% of their allocation that they want to put to informal settlement upgrading. CRU, 6.6, and consolidation is 4.7. As you can see here, the largest chunk of their allocation is going to incremental housing, and there is, again, a big disjuncture between what the provincial priority is and what our national priority is. So that for us as a department really is very worrying. Thanks, Dr. Northern Cape, Chair, Northern Cape has actually overestimated its budget. Now, in terms of informal settlement upgrading, they've actually 40.5%. That is where what we've indicated earlier. PHP 2.8, credit link 4.9, and rectification is 6.8. For incremental housing, they've actually overextended what this is that they're actually going to get in terms of their budget. So they've really got a huge figure out there. The IRDP is 41% informal settlement upgrading. They've got it at 40%.
which is exactly what, in terms of our priorities, the integrated residential program, 19% project length is 15.5 and rectification is 6.8. Chair, our difficulty is, on the one hand, we can say 40% informal settlement upgrading might be fine, but the numbers are really, very low. So so the Northern Cape is trying, but I don't. They're not going to get any assist us with the kind of numbers that we require for delivery. Thanks, Anta. Northwest Chair, informal settlement upgrading 14.5%, just about. Social and rental 3%. PHP 3%, credit link 1.1, rectification 8, but in terms of their own priorities, the incremental housing intervention is at 49%. Huge amount they're putting in there. Project link is 30%, unblocking is 16%, informal settlement upgrade is only at 14%, not just about 18.5%. Rural is 13.3% and rectification is 8.35%. So there's again the disjunction coming through. Western Cape Chair, informal settlement, 1.94, national priority, excuse me. Social is 13.4, PHP 23, almost 23.7, credit length is 0.27, nothing on rectification. For incremental, they're going at 79% share of the budget. We'll go to incremental. Project link will be 34%, PHP 23, informal settlement is 14.9, as we indicated earlier, and the CRU is 10.5. So there's a huge discrepancy, and our problem is trying to reconcile that. Okay, thanks, Dr. Chair, in concluding remarks, this is also a new slide that was not in the original slide. One of the difficulties, and maybe if it comes also as an indicator for you, Chair, and your honourable members, we have had huge, and we continue to have huge problems in obtaining provincial business plans timely. It just does not come in on time. The second issue that's highly problematic for us, Chair, is the non-alignment of the provincial and the national priorities. It's very difficult for us as a department to achieve what we need to achieve if we are not getting that kind of understanding from the provinces that this is what the national priority is, and it's not just us as a department, it's a national priority of the nation. And they need to understand that and assist us to achieve those priorities. Very importantly also, Chair, is that there's a very real risk of not being able to meet the targets as set out for outcome 8. And that is very worrying for us, because I would imagine, Chair, that when we appear before you and your Honourable Committee, you will consider whether we are achieving what we're supposed to achieve in terms of the target, and it will not happen if we don't have the support of the province. And it's highly unlikely, Chair, that we are going to be able to get to 500,000 households by 2040, and also very highly unlikely that we will get to 30,000 rental units. And we really look for your support, Chair, to assist us, because in working through each one of these outcomes and all the targets that we're working towards, we will structure indicators for you, but we also need a push from you in order to assist us, to help the provinces understand that they too need to do what they need to do in order for us to achieve the targets that are being set out.
Okay.
Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much. Yeah. That's the presentation. Honorable Labute, Stain, and Honorable Aren. No. Can you say that? Would like to come in before? Okay, all right. Let's keep it.
Thank you. Thank you, Chairperson and members of the committee. A few additional comments to the presentation, and they meant to just add to what Julie has already indicated. The indicators, and as Julie has said, the report as presented to you, accepted as a preliminary one, and as a department we'll be more than happy to submit a complete report once we have received the final business plans and have drawn out an analysis once we have received all of the business plans from the nine provinces. It's not for want of trying. And in a number of instances, the legislative programs of provinces have by and large been the reason for provinces not submitting their final business plan. So it's provincial budget votes, the business plans not having been tabled at the provincial executive committees, etc., etc. We should just also note that subsequent to the writing and the submission of this report to you, we have received the business plans of KwaZulu-Natal and of Limpopo. So they're two provinces that remain outstanding. Julie has in the presentation and the numbers reflect a huge discrepancy, or shall we say misalignment, between what emerge as priorities from the MTESF, the State of the Nation Address, and what the provinces have put out. Now, we could spend a fair amount of time trying to uncover why. Our initial interrogation and questioning relates to numbers, figures not necessarily being placed in the correct line items. So, for example, if one uses the slum upgrading target or the indicators, you'll find that there's a very small percentage, but one finds that very often you have projects while they deal with the aspect of slum upgrading, the manner in which the province chooses to resolve it is by use of new greenfield projects. So you'll find that in some instances those figures then get written up against the integrated sustainable development program. If I remember correctly, KZN cited a similar example where they have hostels and slums have now, proliferated around those hostels. In the process of upgrading the hostels, they're also dealing with the question of slums. So there is another example where you find that the number or the target isn't necessarily put against the slum upgrading program, but rather against the hostel or the rectification program. The other issue, and I want to come to outcome 8 and the deliverables for human settlement. I want to leave it for last. So let me just go through some other cursory observations. The equitable share versus the conditional grant. Over the past 3 years, the conditional grant has grown threefold. I think three years ago, the department was still working with an allocation of around just over 5 million, or 5.7 million. sorry, billion. My apologies. This year, we have an allocation of in excess of 15 billion. Yet, if one looks at the Equitable share, it has grown substantially less. And I think I may be stating the obvious here, but let me, for as a matter of emphasis, say it anyhow. We are asking the same people who we are who spent 5.5 billion rand 3 years ago. We are asking more or less the same people to spend three times as much money. Now the gearing, there is an obvious problem around gearing. Now, yes, there are other issues, both in mitigation and other. But the bottom line is, the Equitable share has not been increased commensurate with that of the conditional grant, and to some extent begins to talk to the question around the readiness and the implementability of. Of provincial plans that have been presented to us. Sanitation program. I was explaining to the chair last night that the reason very likely that you received a blank when asked around, well, what are you doing about sanitation provinces? We just need to explain that the current arrangement with the sanitation program is that it is a nationally implemented program. All right? So you have a national program with regional offices located in the province. If I could draw a comparison, it works on the very same principle as the land reform program, where you have a national department running a national program via 9 regional offices. So that would account for provinces not having an allocation for sanitation in their business plans. A second point related to the sanitation program, and this is just for your information, this is a work in progress, and Martin DDG Mapisa may be able to add to this point, but the issue or the principle of the fund following the function appears not to have been followed in this instance with the sanitation program. So we have a unit which has been moved to this department. But the fund appears to have remained with the Department of Water Affairs, and it is something that is under debate right now. My last point, Chairperson, I'll come back. Currently, and as you would no doubt be aware, following the deliberations in Cabinet Lekgotla, the office, the ministers involved with planning and monitoring and evaluation have now been tasked with putting together the deliverables for various sectors, and ours is commonly referred to as Outcome 8. We've listed those 5 priority areas. Now, what currently is underway is the putting together of delivery agreements, which then ultimately will culminate in the contract which will be entered into between the department or the minister and the president. Now, the details of that delivery agreement is currently being worked on. Now, we anticipate that many, if not all, of the business plans that have been submitted would have to be renegotiated for the reasons already set out and in the presentation and in the report. However, just by way of example, the initial numbers, if we were to attain the 500,000 slum target, the initial figures suggest that provinces would need to allocate in the vicinity of around 25% of their budget in order to attain the 500,000 target. Currently, the average, considering of course the five provinces that we've received, currently that average is sitting at 6%. So, quite obviously, those numbers will have to be renegotiated, not only with provinces but also with the municipalities. But there's as always a sting in the tail, because as we all know, projects do not run over a single year period, and so you have a number of provinces who have funding commitments that run over a 4 or 5 year period. Just by way of example, I think it is Gauteng who would tell you that their funding, all of the allocation would go into already committed projects. So they have very, very little room to maneuver when it comes to giving to Martha, but you needing to take away from Mary. We work with a limited fiscus, so in some way, there's going to be some very, very sensitive negotiations that will take place. We anticipate that before the officials start tweaking numbers in the business plans, there would need to be some political guidance and political directive regarding the shifting of priorities provincially. Just by way of example again, I think it's KZN, KwaZulu-Natal, Mpumalanga, Limpopo, who have put a substantial amount of their funding into the rural program. Yet when one looks at the priorities set out in Outcome 8, it already begins to suggest that a fair amount of emphasis would need to shift. Currently, the expenditure trends show that on average, 70% or 70% of the budget is spent in largely urban areas. Given what, given Outcome 8, it is very likely that that percentage would increase even more. Now, I find myself in the fortunate position that I only work on somebody else's instructions. Those instructions and those arguments and debates are going to need to happen and happen elsewhere. But, Chairperson, I thought I'd just give you some of that information, because we have no doubt that a lot of those very sensitive discussions would need to take place, and certainly isn't, I may be stating the obvious here, at a political level before those numbers, before they get translated into actual numbers and targets set out in the business plan. Chairperson, thank you very much.
Chairperson, thank you very much, and thanks. I thank the presentation by the department. My concern is with the provinces which didn't submit their business plan. I'm really worried in this regard, because they are most rural provinces where there is a need for housing in the rural areas and sanitation.
So what I want to ask the department is there no platform where the DG meet with the HODs of those provinces? Because our people really need houses on the ground. And another question is that, what about the minister? Is there a platform where he meets with the MECs of these provinces to ensure that you have this smooth working relationship? That would be all. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm almost speechless. And not because I said I'm going to ask fewer questions, but I mean this information is really quite devastating. I think there's a reason, and I'm sorry the Treasury is not here, but there's a reason why the MTEF period was introduced, so that planning would take place over 3 to 5 years, so that when you get to a situation where you've got a budget, I mean, and it supports what you said, where some projects run over a number of years. But that's precisely why we have the years overlapping. And if we sit at the state at the situation where we're at the end of March and there are provinces that haven't submitted business plans, then it tells me that those provinces don't know what they're doing and they haven't done any planning. And almost each one of those that came before us wanted more money. Now, my question to the department is, and I think we need to take this up with the minister, what, from a legislative point of view, what powers does the minister have? And partly to answer my colleague's question, I mean, this responsibility moves somewhat to the National Department as well, because you have got every quarter MINMEC meetings where you sit with the MECs or the minister, and surely there's some sort of give and take that goes on there. There's some sort of deliberation about how far you are, what the priorities of the National Department is, to try and get them in line. If we are so far out of step, then we simply don't have a snowball's chance of achieving any of the targets. We're going to continuously go backwards. Chair, that was just very general, but it covers my feelings on the entire presentation, quite honestly. But I want to just ask, and the members and the department will know that for some reason I've been perhaps not blessed, But when numbers tend to attract my attention, and whether I want to or not, it's almost like I see the errors. Now, Julie, you spoke about the disjuncture, and I agree. But when I look at your tables, and I want to pick on one very quickly, where you give the department's priorities, and then you give the provincial priorities, and you show the sort of disjuncture. However, the question that I want to ask is, if I can go to, let me go and see if I've marked off on. The problem that I find is that under your percentages, very often it doesn't tell you up to 100% in terms of the budget. So there may be, and table. Let me just look at yours, check. Yeah, if you look at these tables, I'm going to try because I've made notes, 17 of 21. So I'm not saying it's going to solve the problem yet, but I mean, if I look at page 18, for example, which is Gauteng, you know, one of our big provinces with big budgets, your percentage of the grant in terms of your priorities only cover 18.5%. As opposed to if I look at the provincial priorities, and obviously they add up to 100%. But, you know, And the other problem that I have, slight problem, is that we seem to have these different names for the programs, which makes it a little bit more difficult for us to see whether they, in fact, lining up with the national priorities. But the question really I've got as far as that is concerned, are these priorities sort of conveyed to the provinces and with enough emphasis to force them? But on the one hand, we have to recognize the provincial authority as well, and that they probably know best what is needed in their provinces. And that's why I thought this MINMEX was meant to, you know, have a communication between the different spheres. The sanitation bothers me again. I mean, I thought that, and maybe I'm wrong, but I thought that we heard from Treasury that $1.2 billion was transferred in terms of the sanitation. Was that not what we heard this morning? And then now we're being told that the funds haven't followed the function. So we're getting conflicting information once again, and obviously we need to find out. They cannot say that the Department of Human Settlements must now do sanitation and then not make the funds available. So where is the $1.2 billion? It can't be with water affairs if you have to direct how it's spent. But even more importantly, you said it's at the national level, I presume at the National Department of Human Settlements. But you expect province and municipalities to carry out the work. So at some point, and that may be the reason why they weren't aware of it, but at some point you're going to have to just give guidance and actually let them do it. You can't do it. Chair, I think I've generally covered my discontent with the situation. I mean, it's far too late to sit in a situation like this.
To perhaps do something about it, but it is really very worrying. And then the other issues are have been mentioned, but I think we've just got to move so that you're right. Provinces, if they don't do the delivering, and that means municipalities on again, we're going to continue to burn the country. You know, people will continue to riot out there. Hey, Glenn.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to motivate or add or whatever, because I'm really disappointed. Firstly, if you drive the car, there is a steering. Now, if you make an accident, who's in fault is the driver. Now, I felt that your department is the driver. And also, we've got this MINMEC where we meet all the provinces. Now, I think this was supposed to be discussed over there. Now, we've got a minister. I hope the minister knows about this thing. But at the same time, why can't you, as the department, set the target for each and every province and see how are they going to react on that? They will come up with reasons why they put these targets down. But I think that is the way forward. Thank you.
Thank you. I think my point is that
there has been quite a number of processes that have been undergone before we come to this day. The president announced in his State of the Nation last year that we are building human settlements. And this transfer of sanitation was also part of the 2009-2010 State of the Nation. And there were processes in between that made us not to get a five-year threat plan from the department because they were still sorting out some issues. We were supposed to receive the five-year threat plan around about September, and then it was postponed and postponed and postponed until we received it in March, beginning of March. And now there were negotiations and everything. Until such time, there was a budget period by the minister. And during the budget speech, it was confirmed that this is a cabinet budget. Now I find it very strange now. If we still have this problem, because if it is a cabinet budget, definitely that budget was negotiated. In fact, everything was dealt with the premiers of the provinces and the treasurers. There's that forum where they sit. So I don't think we have to entertain the challenges at this stage. And there was also the presidency, the planning ministry there. So I don't know what I'm going to do. But I think we need to engage more with the minister and also, I don't know. I think this is a political issue, really. We can't sit here. Because now we are expected as the portfolio committee to debate the budget. In fact, to approve. What are you going to approve? What are you going to adopt at this stage? To be honest, what are you going to adopt? Because there are still things, the priorities have been set by the president. Ours is to ensure that those priorities that have been set by the president, our role is clear, is to ensure that they are implemented, to monitor. So when you adopt something that you are committing yourself, that I'm going to monitor this 1, 2, 3. Now, this committee, what are we going to commit ourselves? This is a serious problem. I don't know. But I think there's still room, if there is a need, to break the constituency period. We can't, because I think we are committed. Because we can't go for debate on the 21st. Of April in this situation, because we are going to speak with the nation. We can't adopt something like this. We must be honest. But we need to get clear performance areas and indicators and targets. So it means if we get half information, other provinces do not have their business plans. What are you going to adopt? But we'll see what to do. Otherwise, really, I'm appreciating the department, because we have been complaining that we are not receiving the proper information all the time. But we must be honest, this time things have changed. We receive a proper information so that we can act properly. So that is why I'm saying, if there is a need to come back, even on the last week, we can arrange that. I mean, we'll see. But we have to. We can't adopt this budget totally. But let's work it out together. Let's work it out together, the department and the portfolio committee, to make sure that we do things right. We do things proper. Otherwise, Honorable Stan and Honorable.
Chair, just very quickly, I just want to get clarity about the sort of authority that the National Department has got. You transfer funds. Now, are you purely just a conduit that gets it from Treasury and without really looking at it, transferring it on? Or do you physically have to approve the funds before you transfer it based on what they're going to use it for? Because that seems to perpetuate. I mean, provinces just dump money with municipalities who doesn't actually have plans to spend it. Now, is that what National Department does as well? Because, I mean, unless my daughter comes to me and says, I need X amount to spend on this and that, I'm not going to give it to her. Now, is that not the sort of relationship you've got with the provinces?
This is exactly where I want to come in. Because, you know, whilst we legally don't want to come trampling on other spheres of government. But my understanding is that ultimately it's national government that sort of trumps here, and that other things need to feed into that in relation to what those targets are. So I also would just like to know where we stand legally. I don't know if somebody can help us there.
Chairperson, the relevant piece of legislation that we need to draw guidance on here from is the Division of Revenue Act. Now, the Act is very specific in so far as the disbursement of fund is concerned. Perhaps let me deal with it rather than just only the question, just how the Act sets out the process, a specific process towards disbursement. Excuse me. I don't know it off the cuff, but no, I don't. But I'll be happy to make that available to you. There are specific dates in the Act by which provinces are meant to submit first and second drafts of their business plans for the coming financial year. It was the end of August for the first draft of plans, the 1st of December for the second draft of plans, and then the 15th of February for the submission of the final draft of the conditional grant business plan for the coming financial year. Now, at every point in that process, when we had not received a plan, we had forwarded correspondence under the DG signature that the relevant provinces had not complied, or we had failed to receive plans from those provinces. In addition, the acting DG made a specific point at the last minute, which was 2 weeks ago, that there were certain provinces who had not complied and that we were still awaiting those business plans. Just in parenthesis, the report as you received it was in fact the status that was tabled. Those provinces by that point had already submitted. In addition, the report that has been presented to you today has also been forwarded to the minister. So the minister is through the report being appraised of the situation. An important prescript in the DORA is that, and this is in response to Honourable Bowman's question, if the department, as well as your staff, Mr. Steyn, the department is more than just a conduit for the moving of funds. The Director General, in fact, needs to approve those business plans subsequent to it having been approved by the provincial head of department, in order to ensure not only compliance but also to reflect on the substantive of those business plans. And only once the Director General has approved the relevant provincial business plan is it passed on to National Treasury. And then subsequent to National Treasury's approval of the plan, of funds then transferred and disbursed to provinces. So there is a very, very specific process and a detailed process which then ultimately leads to funds being transferred to the 9 provinces.
Just a moment. While still are they? We have got these departments that have not submitted their business plan. And even those who send them later, even those who sent them before earlier, what is the status of the approval, more especially on the side of the National Treasury currently? Because we need to understand this process. Because it means now, okay.
It's just on this very thing. If we've got these checks, you know, along the way, as a process that gets followed, if we, in those plans, as they're arriving, they don't meet national targets. And surely at national level, by the time those arrive, we must know they're meeting or they're not meeting. So this shouldn't even be at a point where the department is coming here to present this half-cocked thing to us. So, you know, if we can perhaps understand where then and how do we deal with it so that, I mean, if people are not complying, if provinces are not complying, where does this word I like to use, and I know many people don't, but this punitive, where does the punitive action sort of step in here?
Maybe I will just try to add some value from the way I understand things. Yes. The PSMA is very clear that for the province, the accounting officer is a head of department, and the head of department takes personal responsibility. And even at national level, the director general is the accounting officer, and he's got all the powers to implement the mandate. And under the worst scenario, even the minister can step in or maybe various levels of government. The examples will be the Eastern Cape. The Constitution allowed the National Department to intervene and take over operations at provincial level. This is what already is happening in Eastern Cape, in the process of which we are about to wind off. In the Eastern Cape, things deteriorated to an extent where there was an intervention by the national government. And this was implemented according to the Section 100 of the Constitution, if I remember. There are two clauses under Section 100. The first one is they differ in intervention. The first one, I think, is a limited intervention in terms of assistance, but the second one is a complete takeover. So in these instances, we have not, in the 3 provinces, we have not reached the stage where we are at Section 100, where the province has to, where the national department can intervene. But I think there is also an opportunity.
Before I continue, my worry is that we have this riot going on, especially in Mpumalanga, about service delivery, which one of those is the houses, shortage of houses. Then where do you stand in that case, because the situation is not a smooth ride, and we don't need that.
So I would say
we have to. I think another thing is related to this issue of budget, because we all agree all the things are not going right at this stage. How do we go forward to ensure, because the president has put the targets, already the priorities. Now we are sitting here, all of us. You are the implementer. We have to monitor what are your key performance areas. And we are all in agreement that the provinces, their plans are far away from what the president has raised. Which means, what's the point of the state of the nation? What's the point? Because we have to check the value of the state of the nation. Do we all honor? Because those provinces, no matter what legislation they have, do they honor the state of the nation address? Do they respect the nation? Because the state of the nation address is extracted from the manifesto. The manifesto is what? It comes from the nation, from the people of this country. It does not come out of the president's president. No. So I think these members are interested on the processes to be followed to ensure that these provinces adhere or comply. We need compliance here. What steps are you going to take as the department to ensure that there is compliance? For instance, just to cite Gauteng, the Western Cape, We received a presentation from SA Stats. So those two provinces and KZN, those three provinces were highlighted as the provinces that have the most especially Gauteng, the Western Cape, informal settlements. They are the provinces where we need to ensure that we must ensure that we upgrade those informal settlements. But the percentages in Gauteng and in Western Cape are totally unacceptable. But what we want to know, all those things, let's leave them now, for now. But what is the next step? I think when we come out here, we need to come out agreeing. What will be the next step from now to ensure that this thing, at least these things must be changed?
Chair, thank you. Chair, I think you've given us some guidance, because there is a process that's been in place. Provinces or national departments receive money. National department disperses the money based on an agreed allocation formula to the different provinces, depending on a whole range of factors. So that gets dispersed to provinces. Provinces then, and I think this is where the disjuncture comes in, provinces then decide in terms of their own priorities what is it that they need to achieve. And I think that is the disjuncture. And Chair, you gave us guidance, I think, a little while ago, but it's beyond just the administration. This needs to be addressed at a higher level, because there is, from the state president, there is a direction. From the national department, we understand this is what we need to do, but to a large extent, we too cannot dictate to a province that you will do X, Y, and Z. And I think that's a difficulty for us. My understanding and the way I see it, and I think I can, if I may be corrected if I'm wrong, is that it needs to be at a political level. I must also indicate to the members who were asked about the meetings between minister and the MECs and the HODs and DG. Those happen regularly. In fact, if they need, there's a need for special MINMEC meetings with minister and MECs where the HODs are present, that happens. But regularly, quarterly, there is a meeting of that sort. In fact, this last MINMEC meeting specifically was the issues that were on the agenda was the question of what the planning is going into the new year. And that was actually set out, and we needed to know exactly what provinces had planned. And that is what was set, the plans were put on the table. And Madam Chair, it might help in your discussions with ministers to indicate the difficulties that as you see it, because from an administrative perspective, we can talk to the HODs and we can say, this is what we require, this is what, and essentially what gets presented to you, they would know, because the information is not kept a secret, because HODs are brought online as to what the priorities are, what outcome 8 is about, what we need to achieve. They're aware of all of that because the presentations were made at our technical MINMEC, where the HOD and the senior administrative officials were there, and then at MINMEC, the submission gets taken forward to the political principals as well. Thanks, Chair.
No, I was going to say just on this issue of the status of the authority of the department over province. My understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, housing is a concurrent function. Now, because it's a concurrent function, to the extent that the national department comes to national parliament, to the national assembly, for the appropriation of the bill, it is responsible for the allocation, as Julie has explained. In terms of that agreed formula, it will allocate funds to the province. But once the provinces, rather the funds are allocated to the province in turn appropriates those funds in terms of its own bill. So it actually, now then the authority of the national department disappears. The money is now appropriated by the province to the extent that it has been granted to that province in terms of that formula. So you no longer have the authority. You can only, it now lies with cooperative governments. So it's not a legal thing, it's a working arrangement between the minister and the MEC. Now that's where I think the matter is. If this issue gets to this stage, it needs to be raised at the level of the president and the premiers. Because if it would be the premier who now makes a provincial state of the nation, or state of the province, who in turn has appropriated and guided the province on how the priorities of the province would go and how this money should be spent. So you find that there's a lot of changes in the budget, in the priorities of the province, in terms of how that province has decided to appropriate that money. They would even do variants within those budgets. And that means that the national department has absolutely nothing to do with that budget once appropriated in terms of, so it is a political issue. It's not an administrative. So it's the minister, premier, and MEC and the president himself. I think my honest view would be that the chair should take this thing up at the political level.
That is why I was saying this process, it's not a process that has just dumped to come before us. There were processes even before. After the president has announced his State of the Nation address in 2009, because it's a recurring now, it's time for implementation, what the president has announced. And there were those processes, and people committed themselves before we come to this day. So that is why I'm saying we need to ensure that these processes are followed up. Another comment?
Yes. I fully agree with what you've said, but I still get back to the point
that ultimately, and yes, you know, we'll take it up at a political level, but the priorities for the nation must surely, they've been set by the president, and I would imagine that those would need to, then they must follow through. Otherwise, we can't deliver on what the president is promising the nation. So they need to take that up. After those priorities have been attended to, then provinces can then start to, you know, use their discretion for other things that they need.
Chairperson, if I may, and this is not in mitigation or defence of our colleagues in the provinces. If you recall the dates for submission of plans, you would also see that there was a confluence between at the point of the submission of final business plans. The President's State of the Nation address was very specific around those targets that we had put up in the presentation. So yes, those pronouncements were made previously in the Cabinet Lehotla and in iterations elsewhere, but those targets around slums, around the dental, around state land, were made very specifically at the State of the Nation address, at about the time when the final business plans were submitted. So it would not be a coincidence if there was a bit of a disjuncture, either.
After the State of the Nation address, there was a mimic. In fact, even before the budget was pronounced by the National Treasurer, between that period, once the State of the Nation address set out those targets, there should have been an arrangement, a special arrangement by the department between that period. And then once the budget has been, after the budget has been, the budget speech, the MIMEC met, there would be some arrangements that could have done. It's not a casting stone when they business plan. It's not a casting stone. Why members and the mining in the manga? Why? This thing is not so difficult. The budget here is the budget. You have your plan. Plans are changed now and again, but because you have to change your plans, the fit to what is the president, even if it's not exactly. But this is far, far, far away. It's not acceptable. It's the problem. This is far away. That you heard that the department, together with the provinces, had an ample time to do maneuvers. I don't know. But yeah,
we've heard that the deputy minister is in Brazil and the acting DG is not here. Where's the minister? Because usually at these strategic plans, the political head also then is present.
He's going to come. We've invited him on the 14th. Yeah, we've invited him on the 14th. Because we thought that at least at this period they are still busy, the department is still busy, so that we can have our own input. Then when the minister comes, he must come at least when the ground has been leveled. So I think this process is a good process. He's going to assist with it because we are sending them back to the minister. We are sending you back because we are going to have our last meeting on the 14th.
And I'm sorry, because on the 14th we're supposed to adopt this. That it's not going to be easy for us to adopt, because we don't have definite areas. What are, at least there are no indicators, there are no areas, performance areas, where are, there are no, what are we going to monitor? There's nothing.
Okay, you'll have those will come to you, so at least you'll have them before, you will have them before your meeting. To be sure of that. Thank you, Chair. Other thing, and just to answer Mr. Sain's question, I think on the numbers, you said that the department's priorities did not add up to 100%. It was not meant to add up to 100%, Mr. Sain. If you look at that, it's the priorities of the department on the one side. I just wanted to show it to you. And then on the other side, it actually indicates what the provincial priorities are, and simply to show that it's a social and rental, it's a national priority, but that's the only percentage that provinces is allocating to that. And the higher percentage on the other side goes to the other programs. So that is why the departmental side did not add up to 100%. Thank you, Chair.